Good day. Welcome to the Guardians of the Holy Grail with Mark Amaru Pinkham. This program will explore the secrets behind the Knights Templar and other secret mysteries of the world today. Now, here's your host, Mark Amaru Pinkham.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Guardians of the Holy Grail, the program that's dedicated to diving deep to uncover and expose the truth behind the Knights Templars, the secret societies, and the ancient Holy Grail mysteries. This show, the Guardians of the Holy Grail, was created by me to assist in clearing up many of the popular misconceptions that have been perpetrated in the mainstream media regarding the secret societies and the Holy Grail mysteries and the bloodline from Jesus and Mary Magdalene. Through this show, I hope to set the record straight with many hard facts from authors and researchers, as well as with testimonials from current and past members of the Initiatic societies. I myself am a Knight Templar of the International Order of Gnostic Templars, which was founded to revive the mystical rites and wisdom of the original Knights Templar that over the centuries has either been lost or ignored. Now, you can learn about my Gnostic Templar organization, and you can sign our mailing list by visiting our website, which is www.gnostictemplar.org. And while you're there, you can sign up for our 18-lesson Gnostic Templar e-course. You can become an associate member. You can even download an application to become a full initiated member if you feel called to do so. You'll find that there are videos to watch there and books to buy. One of the books that are featured now is my new book called World Gnosis, The Coming Gnostic Civilization. This book chronologues the movement to found a one-world civilization based on Gnostic spirituality that has passed down since the very beginning of human civilization, down through the Knights Templar and the secret societies until today. Part of the book goes into detail about what this new Gnostic civilization will look like and the new spirituality that will be part of it. Now, as I said, you can purchase a copy of the book at our website, and the website address, once again, is www.gnostictemplars.org. Now, today, if you would like to call in at any time with questions for myself or my guest, you can call our toll-free number, which is 866-472-5795. Now, before we get started with today's show, I'd like to mention briefly a sacred pilgrimage that I'll be leading in June 2011. This pilgrimage will be to Peru, and we're calling it the Mystical Journey to Machu Picchu and Lake Titicaca, and you can learn all about this this pilgrimage by going to the website, which is www.sacredsitesjourneys.com. We're only taking 15 people down there in June, and we're going to visit which I consider to be the strongest, most powerful Andean temples and sacred spots. I've been down there about 17 times now, and through trial and error, I have been able to discern what I believe to be the most powerful places. I've also learned a lot of the mysteries of that area going way back to the time of Lemuria, and I'll be sharing those mysteries with you when you accompany me on this amazing journey. I always say to people, there's a few places on the planet you should visit at least one time in your life, and this is definitely one of them. You find buildings, you find architecture, construction down there, you will not find any place else on the planet. And you'll find some amazing energies down there you also won't find. The Andes is famous as the input point on the planet for the female goddess energies arriving from the universe. And so wherever you go down there in Peru, you can feel the energy of the goddess, especially around Lake Titicaca. And that's a huge vortex. A lot of the Andean civilizations claim to have emerged from there. And it's considered to be probably the most powerful psychic vortex on the planet. And it really is the womb of the goddess. So if any of this sounds good to you and you feel a call to come, please, once again, go to this website, www.sacredsitesjourneys.com, and you'll find a complete itinerary there and also a registration form. And don't wait, because we're, like I said, we're only accepting the first 15 people that register for this tour. So as to today's show, you might remember those that listened in. Last show I interviewed Dr. Sam Osmanagic about the Bosnia Pyramid, which, if you remember, is about three times the size of the Great Pyramid in Egypt and possibly even much older. Since that time, I have connected up with a man named Aleksandar Jovanovic from Serbia, who knows of another great pyramid in his country that might even be bigger than the Bosnia Pyramid, and possibly even older. Aleksandar is a member of the Clan of the Black Dragon, and he's also a Gnostic bishop and initiate of many initiatic societies, including OSMTH and the Order of the Rose Cross of the Orient. Aleksandar will be here with me today speaking from his native Serbia about the Great Pyramid in his country and some of these dragon mysteries. So greetings, Aleksandar. Welcome to the Guardians of the Holy Grail.
Thank you for calling me, Mark. It is a great pleasure to be your guest.
Well, it's certainly nice to have you. It's always nice to have a dragon brother on the show. And
thank you.
There's always plenty to talk about with the dragon mystery, so it's great to have you on. Let's start off with the pyramid in Serbia. From what I understand in studying on the internet, that it's located inside what's considered to be a very spiritual mountain known as Ratanj. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right. Is that how you pronounce it, Ratanj?
We call it Rutan. It is okay. Hard to pronounce in English, I understand.
Yeah, I was pronouncing it wrong, so thank you for that. I understand that throughout time there's been some very unusual phenomenon around this mountain, like electromagnetic anomalies and supernatural phenomenon. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I can. You see, as most of the real history of our country, Serbia, which is part of one time Yugoslavia in Eastern Europe on the Balkan, many parts of our country are not explored by historians or archaeologists. And one such location is the mountain Rutan, which is located in the east part of Serbia near Bulgarian border. And I can say that from the time immemorial, local citizens are be able to see many non-natural phenomena. For example, there are many sightings of UFOs. Some of them are preserved on photos, some on videotapes, and there are many lighting balls of fire, and light beings, as we like to call them, shining ones. Some of the local people have personal meetings and connection with those beings, and someone also considering them to be fallen angels. Local cunning men or like witches receive some secret knowledge from those beings, and this is considered to be a traditional Balkanic witchcraft, which is like shamanism in essence. And those people preserve those sacred teachings regarding healing, which on many instances use unique herbs which grow there. This is endemic herbs. You can find them only on that place and nowhere on the planet. And there are one interesting legend preserved by Serbian witches, which tell about creation of man. And it is said that God created man from dust, and it's long for 6 days. On the seventh day, he rests. On that day, the devil come from the river Danube, which is the biggest river here and near the mountain. And the devil made 41 holes in the body of unfinished man, which is still of the earth and don't have a spirit. When God returned, he see that his creation is a little bit ruinated, and go to Mount Rutten to find the healing herbs. He find 14 herbs to put in that holes, but he didn't find one herb, and this herb is the herb of immortality, and because of this, the man is mortal. This is just one of so many legends preserved here. And I remembered that Arthur Clarke, in one of his writings, mentioned that he visited Mount Rutten, and according to him, it is the oldest handmade building on this planet. The similar conclusions are made by Erich von Däniken, who also visited the location and explored it briefly. And many in the later times associate the mountain with the planet Sirius and the light beings from there. This is the same case for two other mountains in Serbia, and what I can say that Mount Rutten is the empty inside. There are many tunnels, many caves, rooms, and even one artificial lake inside. It is the lake which have a its borders in the shape of the pentagram, which is really interesting and clearly not natural. There are also strange iron rings, which are in stone. Those rings you can find in some marine on the shore of the sea, and many shells, like you also can find on the sea, but we find this on the top of the mountain, which implied that maybe in the deep past, water covered almost all this territory for a long time, and that one part of the mountain be actual marine for the ships. There are also many dragon legends connected with the locations, but we must to made a difference what the dragon is. According our tradition here, there are three types of dragons. One, it is the legendary, like we find in the fairy tales. The second is the purely energetic being, which can shapeshift to become man or woman. And the third is the actual energy in the earth, which is like the telluric ley lines on the surface of the earth. What is also interesting that there exist many legends around this place which speak that many human bloodlines inherit this dragon blood. One such first data is from the Roman time, from the time of the Roman Imperium here, and it is the early 4th century, and the story goes on as a mother of the emperor, Gai Galerius, Romuliana, Empress Romuliana, bathing in the river Timok near the location, is one time seduced by the black dragon who came from the mountain, and she bring a child which become known as Emperor Gai Galerius. And it is the first emperor who didn't claim to destined from the gods but from the dragons. And he established, we can say, maybe the first dragon order as a special force named Draconofori. Near the mountain is his royal palace, and approximately many emperors are born here, and in total 18 of Roman emperors are born in Serbia, many of them claiming the dragon line.
Well, that's a lot of information. Thanks so much, Alexander. I'd like to get back to the mountain itself, if you don't mind it. Okay. It sounds like that played an important role at the very beginning of human history. So it sounds like the natives of Serbia believed that near the mountain was a Garden of Eden, maybe one of many Gardens of Eden, or maybe the Garden of Eden, but it was the beginning of human life. Is that right?
Yes, something like that. The near River Danube is one such location where is find the Vinča culture, and the location Lepenski Vir is the worldly famous because it predates summer. And my friend Philip Coppens visited the location, and he wrote one excellent text about this Vinča culture, and that this is the source of the modern Europe, which is totally unknown on the West. Legend also say that first people are born near the mountain and to the river of Danube, and that this is the first landing of the gods before many thousand years. And we have found some strange books with on Serbian are called knjige starostavne, and when translated we can simply call them old books. These books are made from leather and carbon dated to 7,000 years. There only remained just four books today in Serbia. and on the border with Romania, it is found interesting plates of made of titanium, which is in United States laboratory analyzed to be 50,000 years old, with strange unknown Aleph Bet, if you like, strange inscriptions. One of my friends currently made research about decoding these plates, and we for sure know that they are not made by man. This is for now, and we can't claim anything more precise or something which is not proven in the laboratory.
Well, you talked about the area being the first landing place of the gods. I assume you're speaking of extraterrestrials, and is that part of the belief that extraterrestrials, perhaps from Sirius, were responsible for the pyramid inside the sacred mountain?
Yes, but on our language, our people don't call Sirius under that name. They call it Zvezda Danica, how to say, sun behind the sun, or older sun. And the legend say that these first beings from Sirius landed here. Some of them remained on Earth, some of them go to the river. And this is the legend how our oldest god come here, and he's called Dabog. And Dabog, when translated, means God who gives. And when you see him on the picture, you can see that it is exactly the dragon who is called in mythology of the Sumer as Dagon, half man, half fish, but also we can say half a snake or half a dragon. And complete civilization, agriculture, medicine and magic came from him. And today local witches or shaman doctors call him for help. And these rituals are something really exciting to see, because it is so vivid, so materialistic. You don't need to imagine something, because these beings are materializing in person. And on some occasion, it is really terrifying to be there.
So where do the, so you're saying the Syrians sometimes manifest in physically, where do they manifest? On the mountain itself?
Yes, on the mountain itself, and also on some sacred location around. On the mountain, they are manifesting mostly like lighting balls and something like a shadow, like a light being. And this is very rarely. Mostly local witches call them on a sacred location, like one tree we have here, which is here from time immemorial, and also in certain caves around the mountain.
Well, the pyramid inside of the mountain, I assume then that it was the Syrians who built this pyramid?
Yes. This is the story I learned.
And what was the reason for building it inside the mountain?
In the mountain, there are places in which you simply can't enter. Like there is electromagnetic barrier, some file that prevents you to go more deeply. And on some occasions, some people enter there and say that they are see, like we call 12 Serbian great mothers. And in reality, this is the 12 elf queens, like they are known in the Welsh or Essex in England, like elf queens. Those beings are living there, like in some kind of parallel dimension. For example, the similar stories we find in Tibet, like stories about Shambhala and Agartha. This is the almost the same story here. Someone also believed that these tunnels in the mountain are actually leading to hell, and many are afraid to go inside because those tunnels are going many kilometers down, and no one really explored them fully.
So the pyramid inside the mountain, is it actually a physical structure, or is it more what you might call an interdimensional pyramid?
I think both of them, because when you are out, you can see that one part of the mountain is the natural, and you can clearly see that one part is artificial, handmade pyramid like that in the Bosnia. And inside, there are parts of the mountain which can act as a portals to another dimension. But I think that those portals not active every time, but on certain dates in the year.
So do you believe then that the Serbians then built, created this mountain?
No, I really don't can't say this. We in reality don't know much about real Serbian history. My group of friends exploring our tradition, and for example, we find that we are not Slavs or anyhow connected with Russia, for example, but that we are a native nation here, and that we can be identified with the Scythians or Royal Scythians.
So you came later on, after all this occurred, your people arrived with the Scythians then?
We are speaking of many thousand years. I can't for sure say that we arrived from somewhere, but it is known that we are native people, that we are not come from Carpathia or Russia, as German school of history like to present. And recent DNA exploration proved this, that, for example, we have a similar or even older DNA than Hebrews, and that many Ashkenazi Jews from the Eastern Europe are our little brothers. And my personal explorations regarding genealogy find that we are native people here from this land of the Balkans, and in the deep history we are known as a part of Scythian people, and for example as a Hyksos, one kind of stream are known as a Benjamin and the tribe of Dan, which belonged to the Hebrew tribes. Some of them are lost, and genetic exploration now prove my thesis, which is not complete, but I hope to publish one book in the next year about facts and my conclusions about real origin of the Serbian people.
Well, it sounds like you might have at least some relationship to one of the heads of the Imperial and Royal Dragon Order, which is Alfred Krupa, who's also from that same Jewish Central Asian line as yourself.
Yes, I corresponded a few times with Alfred. He's from Croatia, also the past Republic of Yugoslavia, and he find also genetical clues that his family inherited Ashkenazi Jewish gen. And my exploration is a little bit different because my thesis is that those two Hebrew tribes actually came to Palestine from Balkans and not the opposite, because Hyksos traveled from north to south and not from the south to north. And one of the clues maybe for the tribe of Dan is the Greece and Tuatha de Danann, who worshipped the goddess Dana, and which is interesting, as I know, only the Serbians have goddess Dana and no one else. In Ireland, they are just mentioned that Tuatha de Danann come there, but they are not, don't know about pantheon or mythology. Similar is in Greece for Danaus, and Greek people know that Danaus came from the north to start the civilization, and it is how the Arcadia come. And there are some interesting toponyms in Palestine and in Egypt. For example, the Mount Sinai, the highest top, is the Serabit El Kadim. And Serabit El Kadim, when translated from Arab, means Serbian peak. Also, there is a file where it is said that Moses received the stone tablets, and this file is called Nebo. And Nebo, it is how Serbians call heaven. And in scriptures we read that Moses ascending from Nebo to receive the tablets, like ascending to heaven. But I think that when read on Hebrew or other language, it have meaning unknown to me. But when read on Serbian, it have perfect meaning where he ascend to receive.
Well, let me ask you this, Alexander. It sounds like there's many, many streams of dragon influence that perhaps went to create the clan of the Black Dragon that you're a part of. I imagine there is some influence from the ancient Dagon mysteries, as well as perhaps from the Jewish dragon mysteries, Scythian Met dragon mysteries. Would you say that that's true, that there are many different streams that came together as the Black Dragon clan?
Actually, yes. Black Dragon clan is considered to be the oldest on the Balkans. There is also the clan of the White and Red Dragon. But the Black Dragon is the oldest, and many of dragon families claim to have a dragon blood from female line, from the mother's side. And we again come to the stories, to the legends of one explanation what dragon means. And when you read this, you see that it is the energetic entity, astral being. Some maybe call them fallen angels, but I don't agree with that term. And some women here claim that when they are working on the countryside in the field, someone young man approach them that they can't resist him. The same also for the young boys who can resist some beautiful woman, and later child which are born from such a union inherit magical faculties from the early years. And such babies have some marks on the body which are considered as a thing of the dragons. But
who are these magical beings then, these magical dragons? Are these interdimensional beings? Are these extraterrestrials? What would you say about that?
I think, I'm almost sure that it is energetic interdimensional beings who can assume or shapeshift in the human form in a second, or to shapeshift to animal and to materialize their body, and you can distinguish them from the natural man.
So people in the black clan, black dragon clan, they can trace their ancestry back to one of these magical beings?
Yes, this is the story.
And these magical beings first appeared where? In the area of Serbia, in Central Asia, or maybe both places, or where?
What can I say that Serbian people believe it is that they are first appear here, because simply they didn't know if maybe they appear first in China or Middle East or Near East. People are here very isolated from other civilizations. We belong to European civilization, but because of constant attacks or wars, we stay isolated, and in those olden times information are not circulating like today. And people here believe that they are first appear here in Serbia, and that they are unique. But we know that it is not true, that dragon people are found, for example, in the Wales or Essex in the United Kingdom, or you can find them in France or south of Italy. Dragons are everywhere.
Well, if Dagon, it sounds like he was the first dragon, and he, if he came from Sirius, then perhaps many of those magical dragons were also extraterrestrials.
With modern sight, as we can distinguish now, we can say that they are extraterrestrials, like Zakaria Sitchin claim, but I think that we can't be sure, because those beings are not present every day on Earth. They are manifest on some occasion on when they are invoked.
Well, those that are born into the clan of the Black Dragon, I assume that they inherit certain special dragon abilities. Is that true?
Yes, and there are several abilities, and some families are, for example, famous for sight, for divination. Some are famous for healing abilities, and some are famous to remove magic or to attack with magic. There are many disciplines, and some family preserve actual tradition, and some of the born child are actually in the first years they are don't know nothing about this, and they are trained when they are in teenage years. Then this is the role of the grandmother, because grandmothers are holder of the tradition, and the tradition is passed from the female line in the clan.
Well, so you, in your case, your family specifically, what special abilities do you inherit in your family?
In my family, it is the healing tradition and working with snakes. My family inherited the special language to be able to speak with the snakes, and to use warriors' herbs and magical remedies to healing and cure people.
Well, that's quite fascinating. You mentioned that actually your family had been descended from Serbian nobility, and possibly even before that, it goes back to the House of Anjou. So maybe some of your abilities were passed down through those dragon lines. Is that possible?
Yes, it is possible. I already speak with Prince Nicholas de Vere about our connections. My mother family is the Vojinović family, and Vojinović family are descended from Duke Vojin Vojinović. And in the 13th century and also earlier, we have on several occasions interbreeding with Anjou family from the Napoli and Sicily, and with the Anjou family from Hungary.
Well, then it
And I
sounds certainly like that you are a member of the Dragon Court. What response have you gotten from Nicholas?
We just speak generally about Order of the Dragon and our past history, because many Serbian noble belonged to the original Order of the Dragon of the Sigismund of Luxembourg. For example, our king Stefan Lazarevic is one of the founding members, along with Vlad Tepes from Romania, and many of the Nemanjić royal Serbian family belonged, as also the family of Branković. And we speak about real practices of the original Order of the Dragon, which include classical magic, alchemy, also the inner alchemy, Kabbalah, and witchcraft. Many of those original members from Serbia are known for magical abilities, and they are part of our Serbian legends. Some of the original manuscripts are still preserved in Italy. For example, I know that few magical grimoires are still present in Venice, in Italy, and they are brought from Serbia there.
Well, I know that Nicholas is very interested in bringing back together the different dragon families in one united, kind of one united world family. Is that something that you think that yourself and members of the Clan of the Black Dragon might also be interested in?
I myself, I am highly interested, and also several of my friends and my family members, and we actually didn't have a contact with someone in a different country because Order of the Dragon don't exist now in Serbia, and only what remains is the clan structure. And those isolated groups who practice this tradition, but order as such don't exist from I think 15th century here. And I hope maybe in the near future maybe we can establish the Dragon Order here again.
Well, I find that traveling around the world and speaking at conferences and you know speaking to many people that there seems to be a rise of the dragon and the dragon wisdom right now. A lot of people feel like they are part of the dragon clan, the dragon order, and they want to come together with other dragons in order to have like a planetary revival of this tradition. Even Prince Nicholas, he talks about the dragoness goddess who was urging him to once again revive the imperial and royal dragon court in the world right now, because it's such an important time for this revival. Do you feel like this is true, that this is an important time of the dragon revival?
I think that there are some 20 years as this tendency is present. I also can feel such impulses. I don't know what he exactly received as information or intention, but I see in Italy, in south of Italy and in south of France, that people are speaking much about dragon tradition, and this literature is popular now. And people try to bring to this primordial human tradition of lost science and lost techniques for spiritual enlightenment. And people also feel that it is more easier to come in contact with those beings from other dimension. We can further evaluate spiritual evolution of modern man, and I think that we are to need a few more years to bring people from various parts of Europe, for example, in one order to work towards this goal.
Well, I'm hoping that comes to pass, one thing that I've done over the years is form the World Alliance for Planetary Enlightenment to help form or and organize conferences around the world that bring all the various spiritual traditions together. And I think that one thing I would like to do in the near future might be to have a kind of a dragon conference and bring together many different dragon traditions where we can discuss what we're all about, discuss our histories, and come together and share this wisdom. So anyway, that might be something you might be interested in being involved with, you and the dragon clan at some point.
Yes.
Well, I wanted to mention, I think it's quite fascinating that throughout all of what was Yugoslavia and Bosnia and Croatia and Serbia, there seems to be so much of a so many new discoveries, or perhaps they're new to us, new to most of the world. They might not be new to the natives of those regions, but they're new to us. And these big pyramids and these proto-Sumerian scripts and so forth. Do you think that was the what created these, like the Boston Pyramid and the Mountain of Rutin? Do you think that there was like it was one specific, very, very advanced civilization that created all these pyramids in what was what once was Yugoslavia?
Yes, I think that Bosnian pyramid also belonged to that tradition, because you know Bosnian state is new state, and this is the old land of Serbia. Because old Serbia is from present border till to the Adriatic Sea. And many much later when Turk people invade Europe, and in later years we have a Muslim Bosnian population. And on the west it is wrongly to say it is Bosnian pyramid, because we don't have right to claim it is Serbian, or it is a pyramid from time immemorial, and we can't claim ownership of this pyramid or that here in Serbia. I think it is the work of these lying beings, and we just inherited this, and I think that our only job is to present to the today people what we can find inside, and to see maybe are there some messages in the pyramid for us all, and not for just for Bosnians or for Serbians.
Well, are there archaeologists or researchers and adventurers traveling around the sacred mountain, looking for tunnels and passages and trying to get inside the mountain? Are they actively pursuing this at this time?
No. Mountain Rutin is totally unknown for explorers. Only certain individuals on private basis are searching. There are no historians or archaeologists who explore this mountain. Only, as I say, it is one time visited by Arthur Clarke and few times by Denikin, and that's all. There is also in the time of Second World War that Nazi Germany sent one mission on Mountain Rutin to find one relic, and this is the imperial crown of French King Karl the Great of Charlemagne. And his crown is held in one cave. And the story goes that actually English Secret Service, MI6, got the crown before them. And that crown is now in St. Paul Cathedral in London. And that other relics of some important kings are still preserved there. But no one in reality truly explored the mountain.
Well, is it difficult to get to? Is that why not many people go there to explore it?
No, it is easy to go near the mountain. You have good roads, you have even one small hotel where to rest, to eat, to drink. It is not hard, but it is in difficult part of Serbia, the east part, which is a rudimentary part of Serbia with small population and very poor population. And here are not big cities trading, and people are only by chance arrive here, not by intention.
Well, so the legends are that there are tunnels there, and people have actually entered the tunnels. Is that right?
Yes, you can enter anytime you want, but in a certain part of the tunnels you can't enter because that electromagnetic field, which is like a border. You just looking inside but can go deeper, and maybe someone terrified because one old lady find the remnants of many of us think is a dragon, but official mission said it is the remnant of the horse. But no one want to explain how horse can have a rudimentary wings. And I preserve one photo of that being, which this old lady find on the mountain when she go to collect fungus. And people are afraid.
Uh-huh. Right, people are afraid, sure. Well, you you mentioned that throughout Serbia there's a number of sacred sites, powerful sites like the Sacred Mountain that are associated with the dragon. Can you speak about another site?
Another site is Mount Radan, and another site is Mountain Fruška Gora in the our province of Vojvodina in the north, near Romanian and Hungarian border. And also this mountain Fruška Gora is it have that name Fruška from Francia, from French people that came here, and the order of the monks of the Cistercians and the first Knights Templar who built monastery is there, and it is considered as a holy mountain by our Orthodox Church. There are many monasteries on the mountain, and one of the dragon families, Branković royal family, have a seat on this location. Many people also experience opening of the portals there, and also many quite famous relics are preserved there. What is interesting maybe to the story of the dragon bloodline is that near city of Sremska Mitrovica is the exact location where Merovingians, first king of the France, came. There came from city of Sremska Mitrovica, where is born the grandfather of the king Merove, of the first Merovingian king. King Clovis is born there. And I think Frodemund is born there also. And in that time they are not known as Salian Franks or Merovingians. It is maybe 100 years later or 200 years later that they are become famous as Salian Franks, then just Franks, and later Merovingians. But many holy relics from that time are still preserved here, and maybe are to be of interest to you and those who explore the mysteries of Rennes-le-Château and Priory of Zion, famous monk Abbé Saunière came here on the Frusca Gora to explore this connection with the south of France, because he also find genealogy tables who prove that there is some bloodline connection between Serbian kings and French kings. I think that also Philip Coppens tried to find some clues, but I still didn't read his new book about Holy Grail and the Aragon kings.
Well, it seems certainly there must be some connection between the Serbian kings and the dukes and counts of Anjou, I would imagine.
Yes, it is a proven fact that in the 12th century, one princess from the House of Anjou, a relative of the King Carl of Anjou, come here to be a future king of Serbians. Her name is Helen of Anjou. And from her, all Serbian kings are actually have Anjou blood. It is not explained by French why one French princess are to come here in isolated Serbia to marry Serbian king, because French in that time didn't have strategic or political reasons to send the princess to Serbia. Only a logical explanation can be that it is about bloodlines, and that in that time bloodlines need to be united. And we have in our south part of Serbia, in Kosovo, which is now occupied by Islam terrorists, we have one monastery on which is one fresco where is depicted the genealogical tree of the house of Nemanjić. And it have dragons near, and also lilies, white lilies and golden lilies. And above this, it is written, this is the holy family of Nemanjić, which sprang from the root of Jesse by David and Solomon. No one wants to explain what this means. Even our Serbian Orthodox Church give all to hide the real source of Serbian nation and our kings and our connection with other Hebrew tribes and other royal families from France. And I am now working on a book which I hope to be published next year, which is to explain all these relations and specifically for certain families. And I'm working on collecting some additional information.
Well, it sounds like it's good proof that the dragon blood, the royal dragon lineage is actually passed through the Hebrews and the different tribes of Israel, and then from there they went to Serbia.
Yes, one clues are found in the heraldry, of our noble houses from 11th and 12th century. You can find the dragon almost the same as is later in later years found on the insignias of the Order of the Dragon of Sigismund of Hungary.
Well, so there's certainly plenty of research that we could do. And it's particularly fascinating to think that so many of the royal lines of the dragon rulers, the dragon nobility, was either born in the area where you are, or at least passed through there. So it's kind of a crossroads of all the different dragon royal lineages that came through there. So it's really quite amazing. You've certainly got a very special place there, and I'm hoping that in the coming year that my wife and I, Andrew, will be able to come visit. We're hoping in June, and if that happens, that certainly we would like to visit you and connect up with you at that time.
Yes, I'm honored to have you and your wife as a guest, for sure.
Yeah, that would be fabulous. And I'm also hoping that if things work out, that that you can become allied with the Dragon Court, or perhaps part of the Dragon Court, a member of it, and that we can kind of trade off the ancient dragon information, which is, you know, what I've been involved with myself for many, many years now as well. So it's just wonderful to meet somebody else on the dragon path like yourself. I'm meeting so many of them, and it's really encouraging to see this revival of the dragon tradition around the planet. And so thank you so much for being here on the show today to share your contribution, the Serbian contribution to the ancient dragon path and the dragon mysteries.
Thank you, Mark, for calling me. It is really my pleasure.
Great. Well, Alexander, I'll definitely be in touch with you, and we'll see what we can do together. I'm sure that there's a lot that I'm doing in this area of Bulgaria and Romania and Serbia and Croatia right now. So I'm sure that we'll be doing some special work together. So I look forward to that. So once
yes,
again,
I
thank you very
so.
Much.
Thank
you thank very
you
much
for
being
calling
on
me.
Our show. Okay. Okay. Well, great. Well, that's our show for today. And, don't know what the guest is going to be next time, but as soon as I know, you'll know. I'll send out an email blast. Certainly it'll be someone related to, as you can guess, the ancient mysteries, perhaps the dragon mysteries, perhaps the Templar mysteries, something unique, fascinating, and perhaps new to the world today. So until that time, until we meet again, happy holidays. And as I always say, if you're looking for the Holy Grail, all you have to do is look inside and you'll find it there every time. Bye for now. Thank you.